All right, our reading will be taken from 2 Kings chapter 7, starting at verse number 3. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Now there were four leprous men outside the city gate who said to one another, 'Why should we sit here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there, but if we sit here, we shall also die. Therefore, let us desert to the Aramean camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the Aramean camp, there was no one there at all, for the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so they said to one another, 'The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us.' So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When these leprous men had come to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, ate and drank, carried off silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, what we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we will be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. Amen." Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye, amen, look him square in the eye, and say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, explore all possibilities. Neighbor, explore all possibilities." Turn and point to somebody else and say, "Neighbor, get ready." Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "Explore All Possibilities." You know, it's interesting. Can we just talk for a minute? It's interesting how some people look at just a few things, Sister Mamie, and they can't find the results they're looking for. They can't get the help that they think is necessary. So they stop looking and they just sit there and just wait to die. What concerns me is I wonder how many people are in church who have attempted to go in a couple of different directions and hit some roadblocks, or folk did not receive what they were doing. So they've given up. They're still in church worshiping and praising God, but they're just waiting to die. One of the things that we have to recognize and that we gain from this, and let me give you the background on this story. The king of the Arameans had now sieged the city of Samaria. He recognized, if I cut off all of their supplies, eventually they are going to starve and die out, or they're going to definitely, well, most of them are going to surrender, but one way or the other, the king has already counted his victory. Isn't it something how some folk think that if they cut off all what they think is your resources, Sister Sarah, right, then they feel that they now have the victory over you? Well, so they're all they're doing is just waiting on you to come and say, I surrender. You see, I find it interesting as we look at this, because that's what the king was doing. And what we see on the outside of the city is four lepers. And while they're outside, the king of Samaria, of the northern tribes, is walking on the top of the wall and seeing people inside the city selling a horse's head for money. What he's seeing in the city is one lady cries up to him and says, King, can I get your attention? King, like, what you want me to do? All right, tell me. She said, you know, last night me and this woman here made an agreement that I kill my son tonight and we eat him. Then the next day we kill her son and eat him. But she's hidden her son. And the king basically just almost like lost his mind. Like, what in the world is happening to us? And then he reaches out to Elisha. In all actuality, he wanted to kill Elisha because he was blaming Elisha for what happened. But all Elisha was telling him is that until the folk get it right and make some shifts, that they are going through what they are going through. And then Elisha came and told him, he said, King, I want you to understand tomorrow that an ounce of barley is going to go for like a shekel. And one of the captains, Deacon Davis of the king's army, who had leaned towards the king, looked and said, you mean to tell me that if God opens the sky, this ain't going to happen? And then Elisha said to him, oh, really? Let me tell you something. You're going to see it, but you ain't going to eat none of it. Because you ain't going to be here to see, be able to taste it. And that's everything that led up to where we are right now. And where we are right now, Reverend Rose, is we have four lepers. And they were outside the city. Because, you know, lepers had to immediately separate themselves. They were not allowed around the population. They were put off at a distance. Now, here they are outside the city. And being outside the city, they know that if there's, excuse me, no food in the city, then we know for a fact there's no food out. And that's where they are. And it tells us that they began to question or say one another. But I truly believe somebody had to be the initiator of the process. Somebody had to be able to raise this question in verse number 3. Why should we sit here until we die? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then, you know, somebody had to raise the question to get the conversation started. Why are we going to just sit here and wait until we die? Somebody came to the realization that we need to make and if we don't make that shift, then there's going to be some issues. Because as long as we stay in the gear that we are in, we ain't going nowhere. As long as we're not willing to make any kinds of shifts to do something different, then what we will do is sit here and... If we go into the city, ain't nothing up in there, and the those who have it, they ain't gonna give it to us lepers. Right. So if we go in the city, we go what? Die. If we stay here, we go what? Die. But then I want you to know, somebody began to explore all the possibilities of what can we do. Sometimes we say we've exhausted all our possibilities. No, you ain't. You just looked at the things that you thought were possible, but you didn't look beyond what you think. See, one of the things that we have to understand is that we got to learn how to think outside the... We have to understand that God has given us a mind, and God wants us to see things different than how we've been looking at them. In order for us to recognize that there's more, we got to trust God. Amen? You see, and I want you to know that they didn't just come up with this brilliant idea. I truly believe that God is the one that gave it to them. Now, as God gave it to them, they had two choices. Either ignore it or do something with it. But the situation has become so desperate. And you know, and their stomachs were just doing this. Come on now. Well, you know, I want you to understand a hunger and a desire will make you do things you normally wouldn't do. Amen. You see, the Lord realized that they wouldn't even consider what he had said if they had a little bit of food around. But since they had nothing, now everything is a possibility. Right. Are you working with me?
Yeah.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, we have to understand that the Lord wants to take us to places we have not been. Which means is that we ought not to be afraid to look at all of the... Go to the city, dead. Stay here, dead. And I can see what I'm saying, but if we go to the enemy camp, they're going to kill us, then we ain't no worse off than where we. We have to understand that there are times when God wants us to make a shift. And God wants us to reach out to the one thing that we think doesn't make any sense. You see, I want you to realize something, because anybody who understands that if you got an army that is coming there to destroy a people and to take them over, why in the world would you consider going to them and asking for? Are you working with me? Do you see what I'm talking about here? See, the thing is with us is that there are things we have not considered asking folk or even looked to certain folk because we feel that there's no way that they will even consider helping us.
Yeah.
But what I want you to understand something, when you have God with you, when the Lord has already gone before you. Oh, but you don't believe me. We got to go look at this in Scripture. You don't believe me. I want you to see this in Scripture. Because if it's in here, that means it can still happen today, Brother Phil. So as we look at this, what has happened is this. They make their way at the twilight, what we call sunset. Sun is still up, just a little. Ain't quite gone down. But it's at the twilight of the day. Do you see the twilight of the day? It ain't quite day being over. It ain't quite night beginning. They are making a decision of making a shift at a time of the day where we are caught in the middle. So they themselves were caught in the middle. Because the army, they figured out the army, if they see us, they'll see us as lepers. Either they'll feel have pity for us or they're going to kill us. But still, it's no better off than where we are right now. Because I know for a fact, if I stay where I am, I truly am going to. So if I get up and move, then I've given myself the possibility of having life. How many children of God just happy that we get our shout on them Sunday morning? Tore down that house next door. Tore down the shed next door. Paid for that stuff cash. And now y'all back there playing in the dirt. Where are we going to build the building?
Come on now.
They're saying all that, but in all actuality, they don't want to go there because all they see is just more stuff happening, more things coming. Why are we even considering moving and doing more than where we are? Aren't we just fine the way we are? And there's nothing wrong with our church. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. But what I want us to understand is something. When you are a child of God, you've got to understand that God never leaves you right where you are. He's always growing us from one day to the next. And if you aren't willing to grow, that means that you want to stay in neutral. You're not willing to move forward and see the possibilities of what God wants to do with your ministry. It ain't about Pastor Cook. It ain't about nobody except Jesus. And Jesus told us to go out to the highways and the byways, preach and teach the gospel so that lives will be changed. And if you stay in neutral and stay right where you are, you're only going to have a little effect. But if you put yourself in a position to when the Lord takes control of the church and moves the church forward, the possibilities of what we can do become endless. But you never see it if you stay right where you are, Sister Rose. I'm comfortable here. I know what I got here. We ain't got bills right now. Everything feels good right now. We can do what we want, when we want, and how we want. No, you really can't. But this is what it's saying, because all I want to do is just focus on this stuff right here. You see, but when we serve the God that we serve, and we say God is all powerful, and he's got the entire world in his hands, he's got everything that we need, but he has it just because we want to stay in this one little space. I don't want God to take me beyond this. Lord, I just want to die right here. Don't want it to be no bigger. Don't want it to be no smaller. I just want it to be what it is, where it is, and the way it is. Because I don't like change. But go look at yourself. Go look at yourself in the picture when you were 15. You don't look the same. Go look at yourself in the picture when you were 20. You don't look the same. Go look at yourself in the picture of you when you was 30. Hair was jet black. Shoulders were broad. Sisters were wearing the skirts up to, but we ain't gonna go there. You was feeling good about yourself, but now you look at yourself. I want you to know, whether or not you wanted to believe it or not, your body has made some shifts. So since your body has made some, but all I want to do is, I want to stay right here, because I ain't big on change. But you don't realize change is happening all around you. Change is occurring even when you don't want it to happen. God is all about making shifts. And since God is making the shifts in our lives, then our ministry ought to have some. Are you going to work with me? We got all this in DFW yesterday, because I was sitting there for about 4.5 hours all by myself. But I thank God. But I want you to see this, that they had to understand. They came to the realization that if we stay here, ain't nothing going to shift. Ain't no shift happening as long as I'm staying here. And if I go to the other place that I know that nothing's going to happen, I'm thinking I'm making a shift, but all I did was move in the same spot, a different spot, but the same results. So in order for me to see what God can do, I got to go where I haven't been before. You see, when you stay in first gear too long, the engine. My first brand new car was a Nissan Sentra Deluxe. Four doors. No air conditioning. And don't you know when I bought that car, I didn't know how to drive a stick, Angel.
All right.
So my daddy met me at the car dealership. I gave him the money for the car, financed the rest, signed the papers, didn't know how to drive. That don't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. Why would you buy something you don't know how to? But I want you to understand something. When the Lord takes us forward, when the Lord is moving us, he's got us doing stuff we have not. And you know what? My daddy told me how to drive that car in the midst of 15 minutes. And I had to get in that car, y'all. Now, I had a down pack feeling real good. But up in Jersey, we got a whole lot of mountains. Not hills, mountains. And I worked up in Livingston off Northfield Road, which was actually 5 miles from where the car dealership was down in West Dawn. But in order to get to work, Rem Rose, I had to drive that car up the. You know, and I was doing good. But as I was approaching that first light, I just realized, oh, I got to get through this light before it turned red. And I started pushing on the gas and shifting the gears, trying to get to that light before it turned red. But you know what happened? And you know, I'm up there in places I work at, so I ain't going to be stupid to try to run no red light. Folk lock you up back then. Ain't no telling what they might, but it's all good. Come on back, come on back. So I got to the light. And when I got to the light, digging the leaf here, a big old bus pulled up behind me. Public transportation bus pulled up right behind me. You see, in Jersey, another thing they don't do, they don't give you a whole lot of space. That bus was just about on my bumper. And I'm saying to myself, because I wasn't saved, I ain't going to sit here and lie and ask God for help. I didn't. I'm sitting there like, Brother Freeman, how am I going to get out of this? And my father taught me in 15 minutes. He said, all you got to do, son, is once you ease up off that gas, you step on that, ease up off that clutch, you step on that gas, and that car going to take off. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. I put that bad boy in first gear. Car's brand new Freeman. It didn't have 15 miles on it. I said, I ain't going to let this bus tear up. Now back in the 80s, now that's when the buses had the big chrome bumpers. And I'm driving a Nissan Sentra Deluxe, four doors, with a plastic bumper on the... Now, when plastic meets chrome, I don't think plastic stand a chance. So and once that light turned green, I stepped on that gas, pulled that clutch out, and that car went like this, but I didn't go backwards. Whew, I just took off. But you know how come I learned how to do that? It's because my daddy taught me. Are you catching what I'm talking about? Don't you understand that the Father will take us to places we haven't been before and we have no experience at it? But since the daddy taught us that when we get to those points, the Father has given us what we need in order to get through it. So we got to trust God even when we are in the impossibilities of what others see. But what we already see is that God has made a possibility. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I know it's going to be good if my daddy showed me how to do it. Somebody going to work with me. You got to understand that our daddy shows us some stuff. And when I look here at this story, if I could just use my spiritual imagination. You know, when lepers walked around, they had hoods on. Trayvon Martin had a hood on. And when he was in Florida with his hood on, they wanted to identify him as a criminal. And don't you know, way back then, when you had a hood on, folk thought you were either a criminal or you were a leper. So as they're walking with their hoods on, and as they're heading closer to the city, to the camp, I'm sorry, and as they draw closer to the camp, Nicole, they don't hear no noise. They see fires. They see tents. But digging wildly, they hear no noise other than the horses and the donkeys. But they don't hear nobody talking, digging James Booth. They hear no voices. And as they get at the edge of the camp, after not hearing anybody, they don't see nobody. And since they don't see nobody, they're kind of blown away. But what we have come to learn, what happened, is that God came during the time of twilight. Now, connect this. As they made the decision to explore this possibility, when they took their first step in that direction, don't you know God went to the camp? Yeah. It's right here in Scripture. Yeah. It says, at twilight, God went to the camp. And he already took care of everything. Yeah. He had them think a big army was coming. Amen. And was coming to devour them. And they fed all them Jews that called on the Egyptians and the Hittites to take us out. They heard sounds of chariots. They heard sounds of a great army coming. Don't you know them brothers dropped everything right where it was, and they got to stepping real fast, heading back home. What does that mean? If you want to see the possibilities, David, you got to step to a possibility that some think is impossible. And it's when you step towards the impossible, God has already made it a possibility. God has already gotten there before you got there. God has already fixed it before you got there. So that when you get there, God has already fixed it, and your blessing is standing right there before you. Do I got a witness in God's house? You see, but my brothers and sisters, you'll never see it until you are willing to make the shift. It's when you make the shift, it's when you will see the impossible made possible by the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who puts all the stars in the sky, the one that allows the blood to run warm in our veins, the one that woke us up this morning, the one that started us on our way, the one that saw something in us that we couldn't see in ourselves, the one that saw us when we was toe up from the flow up, and still saw the time that a shift needed to be made in us. And now that we know who our God is and what he has done for us, we have to explore all possibilities. And I want you to know that what you thought was a mission impossible, God will make it possible. And don't you know you ain't got to lift up a finger to fight anybody, because God has already fought your battle. Do I got a witness in God's house? I want you to know our God is good like that. Put your trust in him. Step out on faith. Make the shift. And see how God will fix it before you even Hold on now. We ain't over. Now that they got there, Deacon Rosa, when they got there, they saw it wasn't nobody there. They started. They was ready. Oh, shucks. I do a little bit more, but the knee just told me you better back up. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, they was in their first tent. You got to understand that their stomachs were going. And now when they went in their first tent, I want you to know that Mother Austin, they saw all that food up in there. Some of that stuff was still on the fire. They just reached in and grabbed it, no matter how hot it was. Threw it in their mouth. Reggie, them brothers were sitting up there eating up. And then guess what? They found some gold up in there. They found some silver up in there. They found some clothes up in there. They said, come on, y'all, let's take this and hide this. Because just in case they come back, we're going to fill up and go hide everything. Amen. And then they went to the second tent. They did the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
Then God spoke to them. There you go, Rembro. God spoke to them. Don't you know when the Lord hits us with guilt? When he hits us with this, when he hits us with a moment of guilt, it's not to pull us down, but for us to make another shift. Lord, I got to preach this thing, but I want you to see this. They were there. And we're seeing that while they were there, what happened was this. They all of a sudden got selfish. Mm-hmm. Thank God that when he blesses us, we don't get. You see, they could have just hung out in the camp. And like, hey. Oh, no, come on, don't do that now. See, it came back. It reminded me again. So what we got to see. While they were there, they made a shift to get there. But what God was showing them, he didn't just make the shift for them alone. You see, when God makes a shift in your life, he's making that shift so that you will be a blessing to somebody else. You see, God makes the shift in you so that you'll make the shift to be a difference maker. Because didn't the Lord make a difference for them? When they stepped out on faith, the Lord blessed them. And now that they have seen the fruits of what they believe to come to pass, God said, you can't keep this to yourself, because there's way too much food up in here for you to be able to eat for yourself. You got to take it and share it with. You see, my brothers and sisters, and don't you know what they did? They, you know what? And I want you to understand this. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, stay with them. Now, you know what? What we learned from them? Once they got to that camp, y'all, it was dark, right? And they received the fruits of their faith. And what God was letting them know, now that you've got what you needed, and then some, don't wait till morning to go tell somebody. Oh, somebody go work with me. You see, there comes a time when the Lord blesses you with something that you got to bless somebody else with. Don't you wait until morning to tell them. You better go tell them right now. Now, am I making this up? It's right here in the Word. It says specifically in the Word, y'all, because I got to read it, because I don't want y'all to miss this one now. I don't want y'all to miss this one. Look at verse 9. Then they said to one another, what are we doing? What we are doing is what? What we are doing is what? What we are doing is what? Are you saying, you understanding what's happening right now? Now, check it. Let's go a little further. I'm going to connect all the dots. This is a day of what? Oh, Lord, I can stay here for a while. If we are what? And wait until when? We will be found what? Therefore, let us go and tell the what? So, in essence, they said, let us go when? You see, my brothers and my sisters, when is God blessing you? When has he made a difference in you? What does he want you to do with what he's done in you? You see, I want you to know God is not a tomorrow God. He's a right now God. So he wants us to be a people who deal in the right now. So you got to go tell somebody when? Right now. Because they need help when? You see, and since they need that help now, you got to go on and make that shift. And go on and do what God is calling you to do. And you got to do it when? Do you see it? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the reason why it got to them is because two things. They knew they were wrong. You know why they knew they were wrong? Because they were going to treat the people in the city like they were treated. You see, they were treated like outsiders. And because they were treated like outsiders, they were on the outside. And now they say, well, even if we went in the city, whatever anybody had, they wouldn't have gave it to us. They would have just gone and let us die. So while they were sitting there eating and enjoying it, then somebody might have suggested, do we go back and tell them folk? I can't use some the words some folk might have said. Are you following me? But I want you to know, when God steps in, don't you know when God steps in? That God will bring upon change. When God steps in, don't you know a shift will have to take place? When God steps in and you realize that what you have in your hands, you wouldn't have had it unless God blessed you. So the next time you look at it, you realize I can't just keep it to myself, because I wouldn't have what I have unless God blessed me with it. So since I know where it came from, I am wrong to try to keep it all. Are you working with me? See, that's where the role comes in. And the thing is this. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you got good news. You see, when you know you got good news, you can't keep it to yourself. You see, folk are fast and passing on gossip. Did you see such and such in church yesterday? She was dancing with the wops. She was out of beat and fell about two or three times. Folk will call, boy, phones will be ringing off the hook. Oh, Lord, I can't believe she called herself up there trying to do the dance with them. All out of beat. Stepped on somebody else's dress. Then tripped over it. Fell. That's right. And somebody probably get their phone and go, oh, I didn't. But you follow what I'm saying? We'll pass the gossip. But what about the good news? You see, if you truly are a child of God, we have to be willing to make the shift and go on and let other folk have that same what? Good news. Because that we understand what that good news has done for us. That good news has supplied all of our needs. That good news has healed us. That good news has delivered us. That good news took us from a nothing to something. That good news allowed us to be where we are right now. That good news allowed my family to be blessed. That good news allowed me to have a job. That good news allowed me to move forward. That good news made a difference in all the stuff all around me. And since it made a difference all around me, how in the world am I going to keep all that good news too? So when you got good news, you have to make the shift and share it with. Because when you make that shift to share the good news, you recognize and tell others how that good news made a difference in your life. And since it made a difference in your life, you're now going to share it with them so it can make that same difference in their lives so that they also can now make the shift. But here is where the issue occurs. If we wait till morning might be too late. There are some people who are right now, at this time this was going on, who were in the city of Samaria, who hadn't had nothing to eat for 3 or 4 days, had very little water. Family members are crying over them, but their tears are just almost dried up because they themselves have nothing to eat. So if you wait till morning, some folk gonna die. So if you don't go tell them now, lives will be lost. It's left up to us to go tell the good news when we receive it. Because if we wait, you don't know who is near their end. We can't hold on to something that is good. We got to take it and share it as quickly as we can. You see, because they realize that they know how they were feeling. It took every ounce of strength for them to walk over those hills and to the valley to where the Armenian army was. Camped. And so when they got to the edge of that camp, their strength, David, was almost gone. But when they saw nothing but all the stuff that they could have, they got a little more pep. And then they started eating. But then God reminded them, do you know how this happened? And now that you made the shift and you are blessed, you got to go back and let the king's household know so that they in turn will let the people know. And everybody can eat. How many times has God blessed you with what you thought was an impossibility? And then all you did was sit on it. The Lord had done the impossible for you, but all you're doing is sitting on it. The Lord has showed you and has blessed you, and you now have good news, but all you do is sit on it. Because I don't want to tell nobody what God has done for me. Now, what would happen next time it come around when you need God to do something else? You're going to be running around asking everybody, pray for me. And when they pray for you and God bless you, and all you do is sit on it. Do you understand that God didn't do what he did for you so that you could sit on it? God did what he did so that you can go and share it with. Because, Violet, what you just got is some good news. And now that you got it, you got to share it. But we got to deal with this reality. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. But there have been some folk who have hurt us, who've ignored us, disrespected us, won't even speak to us, laugh at us, talk about us, and every time they see you coming, oh Lord. But God has done something to you to get you through. And you see that same person who wouldn't give you the time of day, they're on that road you've been on. God said, I brought you off that road. Look at your hands. Look at how he has blessed you. He's blessed you in such a way. Now that you have it, you got to go and tell them same folk who looked down on you and treated you like you was a second class citizen. But you got to take the good news. Because God wants you to make that shift and let them know, I don't care what you think about me. I love you as a child of God. So I got to let you know this good news. You see, because what the Lord has done for me, he can do the same thing. Oh, somebody didn't get that. Oh, somebody not connecting with me. We got to get past all that petty stuff. Because we got to learn how to have fun in church. Don't worry, we're going to get fun out to everybody real soon in the hurt. But once you understand the fun concept, then you realize and recognize that God wants us to make the... I didn't know what was going to happen down there. I just look at all that God has given me up in here, and he confirmed it to me when I went down to Texas to let me know that we are making the...
Hallelujah.
So when you got the good news, you ain't going to keep it to yourself. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, I got to go about 2 more minutes. I thought y'all was with me. Don't you know that God blesses you in spite of you? Don't you know that you might have messed up, but God still blesses you? He brings you through the whatevers in your life. And then there are some folk who have a whole lot or had a whole lot more than you. But you look at what the Lord has brought you through, and now you can look down on them. But God said, I didn't elevate you to look down on nobody. I elevate you to reach down. I elevated you to reach down and pick and pick and pick somebody else up. Because God didn't make a shift in me to keep it to myself, but to pick somebody up. And once he makes a shift to pick you up, you reach over, and what do you do? You reach over, and what do you do? You reach over, and what do you do? You see, my brothers and sisters, reach over and make the shift. Pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. It's time to make the shift. Let them pick you up. God can do it, my brothers and sisters. Do I got a witness in God's house? We got to explore the opportunities and let God be God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Explore all possibilities, because God wants to make the in our lives. You see, my brother. You see, my sister. God has a lot in store for us.